turn on the microphone. Hello, good evening. Welcome into the JMAC podcast. So glad that you are here with us tonight on a, what are we doing? Tuesday. It's Tuesday evening, JMAC. Again, you know, in this stay-home world we still live in, I lose track of days. I wonder if you do too. But thank you so much for joining us. David and Mary Jane and Sandy already signing in and saying hello. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Let me know where you are listening in from. We are also going out tonight on Podbean, and I hope I have a way to show you Podbean comments tonight. That would be handy. And we're going to do what we've done in the past. We'll try and get through the material that I have prepared for you. And then after that, we'll go down the rabbit hole and we'll talk about anything that you want. Sandra, saying hello from West Valley. Hey, Sandra, thanks for joining us. And I do have one big giant thing on my mind tonight, and that is redistricting here in the state of Utah. And the foregone conclusion that is already foregone and concluded, playing out exactly the way that we knew it would. And against the will of, at least the will of the people who voted for a redistricting committee. So we want to talk about that tonight. We'll also talk about whether or not Big Bird is a communist. And I have a plea for you tonight, and that is to please, please, please. We talk a lot about COVID on this program. I share with you a lot of research. We debunk a lot of myths here, but please, 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 please never, ever, ever trust anything that I am saying for your own medical advice. Please. Please. And why are we talking about that? Well, because of a certain star athlete who is on the Joe Rogan COVID protocols. I can't believe the world we are living in. G-Hob joining us saying, "No snap, it's J-Mac. I'm heating up a burrito. Be right back." The Salt Laker here on YouTube. Hey, glad you're back. He says, "Hi, I'm also hanging with Mary Jane." Okay. Jenny joining us from Logan, as usual. Hey, Jenny, how's it going up there? You guys seeing snow yet? And so, again, lots to talk about tonight. And let's start with redistricting, shall we? And let's go back in the past, back to when the Independent Redistricting Committee was voted in by the people of Utah. Knowing at the time that the state legislature has no responsibility to listen to the Redistricting Committee, it was obvious to most that there would be some type of showdown when it came time to redistrict, because we all knew that the independent committee would make a recommendation and the legislature would just go and do whatever the heck they want. And that is exactly what is happening. And hopefully you saw it a million miles away, and it's sad, it's pathetic. And it's really a situation where elected officials should be held accountable. But obviously they won't be held accountable, because if they felt like there was a chance in the world that the voters of Utah will hold them accountable, then they wouldn't do it. But they feel like they have a majority, or with this new map, they're going to have a guaranteed majority. And so they feel no pressure from you and no pressure from me. And so I would ask you, is this representation? How can it be? If they don't fear you, I mean, we're supposed to be their employer. We're supposed to be your boss. It's pretty amazing. Orion joining us on YouTube. So is representation alive and well, or is gerrymandering alive and well? From my vantage point, it appears that the the Utah legislature did not consider anything from the redistricting committee. Nothing. Which is a slap in the face to everybody who voted for it. And so the proper protocol would be to rise up and throw the bums out, right? That would be what's supposed to happen. Will that happen? Will there be consequences for their actions? Yeah, we probably know the answer to that, don't we? All right, so let's go to the most recent story. This is what happened today. And by the way, I was not able to keep up with all the news today. So if there are developments that have happened, we can look into those if you know more about this than I do. I had a pretty busy day, but I definitely wanted to talk to you about this stuff. Okay, so let's go to, this is the Tribune. And let's see. With very little debate, the Utah House passed a controversial redrawing of the congressional map that critics have decried as a blatant gerrymander. Now, before we dive into this, I want to make one other point here. It seems to me that on both sides, on the far right and the far left, they're asking for gerrymandering. Democrats are asking for a district that they can win in. And they're saying if they don't get it, that's gerrymandering. Well, to me, drawing up a district so Democrats can win, that's gerrymandering. So it seems like both sides are asking for some gerrymandering here. What I want is for logic, demographics, needs of communities to be considered in the drawing of districts. I definitely believe that those who live in rural areas have a different need than those who live in urban areas, right? So you want to make sure that they're represented. I do believe that people who live in suburban areas versus downtown have different needs, and those people should feel represented. So to me, those are the types of things that you take into consideration. Party? No. Demographics, other types of things? Yes. So if you're asking for them to come up with at least one, and by the way, all our discussion tonight for me is based upon Congress. That's where most of the controversy is here. I realize, and Orion's bringing up some redistricting that affects state House seats and Senate seats, and I'm just not as familiar and up to date on all of that. And so I can't speak to that as well as I can with the congressional issues. And this is where, again, the majority of the controversy, at least as far as I can tell, is coming from. So I don't want gerrymandering from either side. I just want, and I've always believed this, what is the test that I put up? It's the political retraction test, right?
The political retraction test.
If you take politics out of it and you put a bunch of people in a room and say, come up with some solutions, can they come up with a viable solution? I believe the Independent Redistricting Committee did that. They came up with a viable solution. And that solution does give at least one district the chance of being won by a Democrat. But I look at what they came up with and I'm like, this makes sense to me. And I'll show it to you. We'll go through both maps tonight. But again, I wanted to point out that forcing a congressional district that can be won by a Democrat, that's just as much gerrymandering as everything else. So let's deal with that. But here's what I want you to do as I read this story to you. And as you listen to your elected officials, the ones who voted this in, I want you to listen for what they're not saying. Okay? I want you to listen for what they're not saying. And this is what they're not saying. They're not saying why the Independent Commission's map doesn't work. Everything I've read, it's like they're creating these straw man arguments and they're knocking them down, but they're not answering the question of the day. And as you reach out to them, if you're so inclined, as you listen to them to decide if they are doing this based upon principles or on party, I want you to listen to see if they are answering that question. What is wrong with the Independent Commission's map? Why did you choose not to support it? That is the question of the day for me. Because a majority of the people wanted the Independent Redistricting Commission. So why did you decide to go against it? All right, let's get back to the story. Excuse me. The map divides up Salt Lake County across all four districts, a technique gerrymandering experts call cracking, which divides a political group into pieces in order to dilute its power. Now here we go. So here's Speaker Brad Wilson from Kaysville. Is he answering the question, why didn't they use the redistricting commission's map, the independent? He says the challenge is math. You literally cannot create four congressional districts and not divide up counties. This is a straw man argument. Do we need to go back? Fallacies. Here we go. The straw man arguments. Straw man argument attacks a different subject rather than the topic being discussed. That's the straw man argument. Okay. Are some people saying you need to keep Salt Lake County together? Okay. Maybe they are. But that's not what the redistricting committee did. Okay. So the map. He says the challenge is math. You literally cannot create four congressional districts and not divide up counties. He did not explain why the map dictated a four-way split in Salt Lake County. He said it's easy to say you should keep Salt Lake County together. Why? What about Weber County? What about Washington County? There are more than one county in the state. Please, sir, why did you not accept the map from the Independent Commission? I don't care about all this breaking up of counties. I don't care about that. They got together, they presented a map, they were supported by more than 50% of Utahns, it passed. Why aren't you putting their map in place? Please answer the question. The congressional maps, as proposed, virtually eliminate the chance that Utah could elect a Democrat to Congress in any of the four districts. Can I also add one other thing here? And then we'll get back to the story. There's a reason why gerrymandering works, and it's our fault. It's our fault. This goes back to George Washington and his warnings about us getting so involved in partisan politics. The fact that parties know how we're going to vote before there is a candidate is the only thing that allows them to gerrymander. You realize this, right? They know how you're going to vote. We have projected this regardless of who the candidate is, regardless of their qualifications, regardless of anything. They know how we're going to vote. That is why gerrymandering works. And that's why the parties don't have to come to you. That's why they don't need you. You are out of the representation equation. The people are not represented. The parties are represented. The people are not. Okay? Just think about that. If they didn't know who we were going to vote because we didn't know who we were going to vote for until we actually saw the candidates, you couldn't gerrymander anything. Just think about that for a minute. We're the ones who make gerrymandering possible. Okay? Just wanted to make that point. All right. Now let's get back to it. There were attempts on the House floor Tuesday to move some of the political lines. Representative Ray Ward Bountiful offered a counterproposal that created one district that could potentially elect a Democrat. He said creating a district that either party could win was important because the number of swing districts was rapidly disappearing. He said, if we continue down this road where we eliminate all of the swing districts, my fear is we get to a place where the U.S. House doesn't change. Again, it is not healthy to have all one party with control when that party does not represent the people. Let's see. His alternative was voted down. Now, listen to this. House Republican leaders spent a good part of Tuesday afternoon counting noses in their caucus, making sure the congressional map proposal had the 50 votes required to stave off a potential veto by Governor Spencer Cox. Not only are they not listening to the independent commission, they are ensuring that nobody can stop what they are doing. Nobody. Now, I don't know that Spencer Cox would try and stop them, but they are making sure that it can't be stopped. Okay? The vote, the 50-vote threshold also provides room for some of the more vulnerable Republicans in Salt Lake County to vote against the maps while not having any effect on the outcome. They got there, but just barely. The congressional map passed 50-22. Democrats were joined by 5 Republicans who voted no. The congressional map now moves to the Senate, where they're going to do the same thing. They're going to get a veto-proof majority. Okay. In other words, they told the independent commission and everybody who votes for it to go jump in the lake. That's what they did. They don't care that you wanted an independent commission. They don't care what the commission says. And they're not giving you any reasons why the independent commission map doesn't work. Again, keep listening for that. Keep asking for that. Jihab says, is this the special session that Governor Cox called? This is in special session, yes. Let's see. The congressional map now moves to the Senate. In a Facebook Live on Tuesday evening, Cox said he has no plans to veto the legislature's map, noting, because some people are asking him, even if it comes out veto-proof, would you do a symbolic veto? And he said, no. He says, I'm a very practical person. I'm not a bomb thrower. I believe in good governance, he said. I've been told that just a veto, just for the sake of the veto, is something that I should not do. I just think that is a mistake. So it should be clear that the state legislature has no desire to listen to the people, and they are free and clear not to listen to the people because they're going to get reelected anyway. And a lot of this map ensures that they're going to get reelected. So do you want to look at the maps? I realize if you're listening in on the podcast, it's going to be hard to look at these maps. But if you can go back and look on the Facebook broadcast or on YouTube, you'll see them. And again, my question in all of this is why aren't they accepting the independent commission's map? Somebody please answer that question. Jihab says partisan reversal test. If you're implying that we could do a reversal test and see if this was Republicans who were not getting representation, would they be making the same claims? If that's what you're suggesting, you are exactly right.
The partisan reversal test.
To do a partisan reversal test and clearly see that this is not principled. This is partisan based. 100%. So we've been able to apply the political retraction test and the partisan reversal test and use a straw man fallacy tonight. We're just setting them up and knocking them down. All right, you want to see these maps? Let's see. This is the independent. Whoa, let's get it right here. This is the independent commission's map. Now, some of the complaints that I've heard, or the things that I've heard people in the legislature say, they'll say, and maybe you've heard this, they'll say, we need to make sure that the rural areas have representation too. And they're acting as though the independent commission's map doesn't provide equal representation for the rural areas. Now look at that map and tell me if you think that that is true. Once again, it's a straw man. They're maybe not expecting you to look at this map. Wow, it's bound to the internet's going crazy. Wow. Okay, there you go. So in this map, are the rural areas represented? Let's get in closer here and see what they did with Salt Lake County. Look at that. You've got, you've got the east side of the highway of I-15, mostly in the blue district here. And then you've got the west side in the pink district. And then this would probably be District 1 up here. That starts at about North Salt Lake. I mean, they didn't adhere to some of these things that they're setting up as straw men. So again, as you look at this map, what is the issue? Please tell me, any elected official, what is the issue? What don't you like about the Independent Commission's map? And as you're looking at it, what don't you like about it? To me, it feels like the Independent Commission did a pretty good job of trying to set this up. Jihab says, wait, this is the independent recommendation? Yes, this is the independent recommendation right here. Wait, is it? Yeah, the UIRC, yes. Okay. So, yes, the Utah Independent Redistricting Commission. Yeah, you had me confused there for a minute. The brain fog was back. Okay, now I'm going to show you. Orion says the Democrats would clearly get the blue district there. I think if you look at the numbers, that is correct. But these make sense. And it doesn't look like they're going through any of these crazy machinations to protect. And I also think about as a representative, you know, how is somebody going to represent this area? And so when you have to get really creative about an area, it makes it harder to run in that area, and it makes it harder to represent that area. Jihab says, why would you think people in Vernal would want to be under the thumb of SLC? That's a question. But when you are drawing these districts, everybody seems to think that you want a mix of both. You want a mix of populated areas and underpopulated areas. But let's also be clear here. When we talk about Congress, we act like they represent these areas. They don't. They represent Utah. They don't represent these areas. We act like that. They are voted in by these areas. But as far as I'm concerned, and as far as I can tell, they represent the entire state. Okay. But you're going to have that issue anytime that you seek to divide up a map. And when we look at the other map, let's see if that still comes into play. Jihab, let's see. The map that I have to show you here is a little bit harder to see because it's got all the comments on it. But I like this one because we can move it around a little bit. So I'll have to zoom in here. So I'll just zoom in, and you can see this kind of brownish color one. That is the 4th district. And it looks kind of a lot like it used to look, only it's lost some of the northern areas that made it more a little bit bluer, a little bit purpler. So you can see over here is Murray. This is I-15 running down the middle. And then, so you've got the 4th district, which is right smack in the middle. And then over here, the orange is the 3rd district. So that has all the way down to Moab. And then you've got the 1st district. That's up here. That one looks kind of close to the independent redistricting's map. And then you've got the 2nd. And when I hear people talking about rural Utah being represented, I mean, look at that landmass. I realize it's not a huge amount of population, but look at the second in there. Wow. And so, again, let's go back and look. Let's go back and look at the independent. There's the independent commission. And there is what Congress is going to pass. And this is going to pass. And this is a foregone conclusion. And by the way, these comments, they are all courts, you know, they're all people who don't like it for the most part. Are these green ones? Are they people who kind of like it? No, this is clearly a textbook example of blatant partisan gerrymandering and is an embarrassment to the state of Utah. This must be where they live. Yeah, but that's what it is. I don't know what the green or the red. I strongly urge you to accept the maps created transparently and with extensive public input by the Independent Redistricting Commission. Please don't disregard the will of the voters who passed Prop 4 and who want to see an end to gerrymandering. G-Hop says, let's move the Capitol back to Fillmore and put a wall around downtown. It can be all its own independent state, like the Vatican. So, there you go. Those are the two maps. One goes out of its way to take the bluest counties and to divide, not counties, but the bluest areas, the bluest cities, whatever you want to call them, right here. They're all right here. If you want to know where are the bluest, most Democratic voters in the state of Utah, Democrat, they're all right there in that box. It's like the four corners. They're all right there. And here comes this map who splits it. I mean, literally, they're all right there. This map makes sure that there is an equal division of Democrats in every county. Now, maybe you want that. to me, it's pretty obvious what's going on here. And again, go back to the fact that this was put to a vote and the people of Utah wanted Congress. And not everybody. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a... I forget. Does anyone remember the voter turnout for Proposition 4? Anybody? Orion says, I'd be in favor of dissolving the Utah legislature permanently and just installing a 5-person nonpartisan commission. No more clowns in suits. Let me see if I can go back here and find that question. Voter turnout for Prop 4 in Utah. Let's see here. Hey, it was close. I'll show it to you. This is Ballotopedia. So, not a mandate, but close enough. 512,000 to 505,000. Is that enough to where you think the state legislature should at least consider it? Or is that so little that they feel free to just disregard it? What do you think? Kind of crazy. So there you go. As predicted, the moment this passed, the Utah legislature is going to do whatever the hell they want. And they will not face any backlash for it. Not that I can see at this particular moment. They will not see any backlash for it. And that's been the writing on the wall since the very beginning. So prediction, if you're a betting person, if there's someplace in Vegas, you can vote on this. The Utah Senate is going to pass this map. And then it will be veto-proof. The governor is going to sign it, and you will have four firmly Republican congressional districts in the state of Utah. Very little chance of any Democrat getting in. And remember, all of that is possible because we've all decided that regardless of what kind of slouch they put up for office, we're going to vote for them anyway. That doesn't seem to me to be a very good system. Somebody's going to have to figure out how to break through. And I don't think it's going to be a Democrat. I think somebody from a third party or an independent or somebody is going to have to rally people to an understanding of what is happening here. And that you can't have true representation. And this is one of the things that really bothers me about anybody who uses gerrymandering. Unfortunately, it's on the Republican side right now. And that is, you can't tell me that you believe that the Constitution was an inspired document and that the will of the people should stand, and then turn around and gerrymander districts so that you can stay in power. The whole goal and purpose of the Constitution was to keep corruption out, and that is corruption, and to keep representation alive, and this destroys representation. So somehow it's going to happen. Jihab says a moderate Republican will have to win without losing the Trumpter's support. I don't see that happening. I don't. I think in the 4th district, they have a moderate candidate. His name is Jake Hunsaker. I don't think he has a chance in the world against Burgess. And much of that will be because of what I'm talking about, people who just vote with the party. And you have to remind people, parties were never part of this equation when we started this country. And it is not checks and balances when you have an unaccountable party representing you. That is not checks and balances. Checks and balances is whenever, this is what I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, you tell me. I believe that every year the parties and the candidates, every election year, should have to go back to the people and reconvince them as to why they should be represented by them. That's what I believe. The Salt Laker says, anyone who desires to go into politics is either naive or corrupt. In either case, they don't deserve the job. I disagree with you, Salt Laker. I think, based upon my own experience, I think that most people who seek to get into politics, they may be naive, but I think that they initially want to get in for the right reasons. But what happens is once they get in, the machinery is so strong and so impossible to go against that they then sell their soul. And I can tell you, as somebody who ran for Congress, that the temptation and the urge to do so is considerable. I had to make a choice. I believe that I could have taken a different path and been elected. If I would have taken the path of toxicity, character assassination, diehard Trump support, I believe that I would have been elected. But in order to do that, I would have had to have sold my soul. So maybe it's not anyone who desires to go into politics. Maybe it's anybody who gets party support and makes it into politics. But I can tell you, I've seen a lot of great people and I've interviewed a lot of great people over the years who got into it for the right reasons. And then the machinery and the desire to keep your job overcomes all, and principles go out the window. And I'll give you a perfect example right now. Republicans, principled Republicans, should not be downplaying vaccines, but they feel like they have to. Now, to me, that's a clear example of where you say, what's more important to me, saving lives or saving my job? I believe that's the calculation they're making in their hearts. Now, again, I have no problem with them fighting for civil rights and fighting against mandates. My problem is when they downplay the science and when they contribute to falsehoods and lies, when what they should be doing is celebrating that their Republican president passed the vaccine and saved millions and millions of lives. But for some reason, the Republicans can't celebrate that. It's very odd. I've never seen that. When do you not get it? It's like a test question. When do you not get to take advantage of your own political successes? So I believe that calculation is being made right now by Republicans who are silent or vocal about COVID lies and misinformation. And I think they're making another calculation because there's another test out there right now, a principles versus partisan test. And that is the election lies test. That is also out there. So you're like, should I speak out against election lies to protect the integrity of our electoral system, which is the foundation of peace in our country, knowing that I will probably lose my job, or should I remain silent or even participate in the spreading of that madness so that I can keep my job? Republicans, in my opinion, are being presented right now with two moral tests, and many of them, if not most, and I'm talking about elected Republicans, are failing the test. And it's sad and pathetic, and that plays into what you're saying, Salt Laker. But I believe most try and get in for the right reasons. G-Hub says to the Salt Laker, it's not true. We need people to vote on their principles without the blue or red glasses on. The problem is, G-Hub, that it's very hard for them to stay in when they do that. And you'll notice typically the ones who are standing on principle and stay in are the ones who are able to rise above because they're a billionaire like Romney. They have so much support that they can't be controlled by the party, but they're few and far between. Salt Laker says, hope is a campaign slogan. Orion, some people have degrees in politics. Not all of them are politicians. Some people become marine biologists, but nobody volunteers to be the dolphin. Why do people become politicians? Self-torture. Well, I did it because I'm going to go down kicking and screaming to try and save my country. And I want a future, a brighter future for my children. And I believe it's my duty to do everything in my power to do that. So knowing that it would be self-torture, knowing that it would cost every dollar that I own, I did it. And might do it again. But because if everybody gives up who is doing it for the right reasons, then the battle is already over. So we've got to keep trying. We've got to keep looking for a way, even though when it comes to Congress in the state of Utah, it just got much harder, or it will by the end of this special session. And that is unfortunate, and it is madness, if you ask me. All right, let's move on to the next topic. I'll keep your comments coming on this. But the next question is about Big Bird. Did you hear? It's so outrageous. I mean, I can't believe it. Big Bird got vaccinated. Can you believe such a horrific thing happened? Big Bird got vaccinated. Why isn't this showing up on the screen right? Because their website is formatted funky. All right, all you need to see is that picture of Big Bird, right? After Big Bird's official Twitter account shared that the Sesame Street character, by the way, Sesame Street has been handing out health advice and vaccine advice for as long as it's been around, helping kids not be afraid of the shots, getting the vaccines, the other vaccines that have been required for decades, and now suddenly it's a violation of your civil rights. But okay, all right. After Big Bird's official Twitter account shared that the Sesame Street character had gotten vaccinated, prominent conservative and anti-vaxxer figures criticized the message. God forbid an anthropomorphic bird share a public health message. Ted Cruz and Laverne Spicer called the tweet propaganda. Fox contributor Lisa Booth wrote, brainwashing children who are not at risk from COVID is twisted. No, what is twisted is when you don't take the time to even understand a virus, and for political reasons, you cater towards myth and misinformation that could cause parents to not have their children get vaccinated and end up in the hospital and die. Are the chances that that happens to them, to children, much lower? Yeah, it is. Of course it is. But here's the math. On the one hand, your child could catch COVID, end up in a hospital, and die. It's a possibility. It's a percentage possibility. Much, much lower than adults. They could also have long-term devastating health ramifications. I shared with you the doctor from Primary Children's the other day who talks about the children that he is treating every day for COVID and the deaths that have occurred and the serious illness. Again, much lower percentage than adults. But that's not the calculation that should be made here. The calculation that should be made here is, can we save some of their lives with a vaccine that has an infinitesimal chance of damaging them? So when you compare the odds of death if they don't get vaccinated to the odds of death if they do, guess what happens? The number of potential deaths in children go way down. And the vaccine does not present significant health problems for children. That's the equation that should be made here. Is there a risk to the vaccine that says they shouldn't get it? Well, let's look at the studies and the documentation, and that is very, very low. But if they don't get the vaccine and they get the virus, the chances are much, much higher than if they were vaccinated. This is the math you should be doing. So if I walked up to you on the street and I said, look, I can provide this to you. The odds of you having any health adverse effects of it are incredibly low. Like, I think we did the math, 0.00016 or something like that. But if you don't take it, the chance of you getting a virus that could kill you is 0.016. Which one do you take? I mean, I'm just amazed at how flippant the pro-life have become with life. If they say only 1% die. That's not true. It's actually, the number right now is about 1.6%. But that's 1 in 100 people. 1 in 100 people. So if you go to church and there's 200 people in the congregation, 2 of them die. Or you could take a vaccine and none of them die. I mean, that... people in our society are literally saying, oh, only 1 in 100 will die. No big. And I'm not making the case for mandates. I'm making the case for getting the vaccine. What world do we live in where a child's character encouraging parents and children to get an approved vaccination that has saved millions and millions of lives, and that's undeniable, that is communism. This is how warped and twisted we have become. This, and again, please explain to me how this vaccine battle never emerged with all of the other vaccines. And what people say is, well, this vaccine is new and hasn't been tested. That's a straw man because you're trying to make the civil rights argument. So don't distract to the testing. If you believe it's a civil rights violation to force mandates, where were you? Where have you been with all of the other vaccines? If your only concern, if your statement is that you can't violate civil rights unless it's been properly tested, then that statement would stand and that would make sense. But that's not what's going on here. And by the way, that's what everybody says. Like, I've seen the governors, Republican governors, when they say these vaccines, this is how it goes every time. And I want you to watch for this the next time you see one of these interviews. The elected official will be asked, well, elected official, why is it that your state currently mandates vaccines for children for all of these other illnesses? How can you be making the civil rights argument when this has been allowed and you're not fighting against it in your state? The next statement that will follow, and I've seen this over and over again, well, these haven't been tested and that's what... It's not a question. That's a straw man. This is not a question about whether or not the vaccine is effective, because then it wouldn't be a civil rights issue. Unless you're saying you can only enforce a vaccine mandate if it's been tested properly. And that is not the line that has been drawn here. But that's where they will go. Chris on Facebook says, when is the conspiracy detox vaccine coming out? That's the one that we need. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. The Salt Laker says, fact, death is one COVID vaccine side effect. Do you know how low that potential is? The potential for death? It's lower than aspirin. We took you through all of these. It's lower than Viagra. It's lower than most cold medicines. That's right. It is. So that's the reality. Manuel says a side effect of driving is death. So what you should be asking is chance of death without vaccination, chance of death with vaccination. And I showed you the numbers. It was 0.016 if you catch COVID and you are not vaccinated, 0.016 chance of death. If you get vaccinated, chance of death from COVID or vaccine or anything else, 0.00016 or something like that. Salt Laker says, do you know the myocarditis numbers? Yeah, I do, actually. And if you look at the myocarditis studies that everybody is talking about, they failed to recognize one thing. And I challenge you, Salt Lakers, to go and find that study that everybody is sharing. They did not read the study. The study is of unvaccinated who get the vax, to get the virus. It's both the vaccine and the virus can cause myocarditis. Okay? Both can cause it. The vaccine causes it in astronomically high numbers compared to, not the vaccine, the virus causes it at a percentage so much higher. Is there a chance you get it from the vaccine? Yes, but it's infinitesimal. It's infinitesimal. Okay? That's what the studies show. It is infinitesimal. People think, oh, I might get the vaccine. If I get the vaccine, I might get myocarditis. Guess what? If you get the virus, you're going to get myocarditis, and it might kill you. If you get the vaccine, there's a teeny tiny chance you might get it. Look it up, Salt Laker. David Trottier says myocarditis is very treatable, but it is very dangerous in COVID patients. Salt Laker says infinitesimal is not a percent. All of the things, all of the medical things that we do come with a risk of something. And no vaccine is perfect, and no medication is perfect. That's why we are all forced to listen to, whenever we watch a prescription drug commercial, all of the potential side effects and problems. Because everything that we do and everything that we take has a chance. The question is, what percentage and at what level, how do you assess your risk? On this hand, I could have just a teeny tiny percent of getting myocarditis. But on this side, if I get the virus, the chances that I get it are dramatically high. And I could die from it. Which calculation are you going to make? And I'm just curious, everybody out there, do you, for all the medicines that you take, have you looked into your chance of death? Have you looked into your chance of myocarditis? Have you looked into your chance of all these other illnesses? I'll bet you haven't. G-Hob says, true, it's treatable. Salt Laker says, we're kind of going down the rabbit hole, Salt Laker, so I've got one other thing I want to talk about. It is COVID-related, but we can go down the pharmaceutical being exempt from damages that their products cause. That's a separate issue, and it does not prove or disprove that COVID is a hoax or that the vaccine is a hoax or whatever else. We've been down that rabbit hole before. And by the way, I have a new rabbit hole graphic and sound effect and even background for when we go down the rabbit hole. But here we try and stay on topic, and then we can go down the rabbit hole after that. The last thing that I have to share for you tonight in my prepared remarks is a plea. And it's a plea that stems from Aaron Rodgers, the NFL quarterback, and Joe Rogan. Many of you know that Aaron Rodgers had been asked if he had been immunized months ago, and he said he had been. Or if he got the vaccine, he said he had been immunized. He lied. He hadn't. So now he's got COVID, and he's decided to be very vocal. And he said that he has been counseling with his friend, Joe Rogan, the talk show host, about how to treat his COVID. And this is my plea to you based upon that. Please, 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 never, ever, ever make any medical decision in your life based upon anything that I have said to you. Please, please, never, ever. Don't get vaccinated because J-Mac said to get vaccinated. Don't avoid the vaccination because somebody else on this program said get vaccinated. The best possible thing that you can do is go and see your doctor. Your doctor has sworn an oath to do no harm. And I do not believe all doctors have been paid off. Some doctors have ulterior motives. Some doctors have differing beliefs. Joe Rogan obviously found a doctor that prescribed him ivermectin. And it appears that Aaron Rodgers also has a doctor that has prescribed him ivermectin. Just please, please, I'm just trying to present to you the research that I have found, and I am trying to dispel the myths that are out there. And it is unfortunate that we live in a world where everyone has become an epidemiologist in the last 2 years, and everyone has become a voter fraud expert. But as for me and my health, I will choose to follow the cumulative world knowledge and the scientific knowledge and the epidemiologist knowledge. I will follow that. That is my choice. When I hear things that can clearly be debunked, like people talking about myocarditis and not reading the whole study, then I will provide that service and be glad to do that. But if I ever hear somebody say, I got the vaccine or I am on the JMAC protocol for treating the vaccine, I would freak out. That is not my intent. That is not my goal. And I think Joe Rogan should be horrified by it. Because here's the reality of what's going on, all right? I've already shared with you that ivermectin was looked at early on with COVID because they go and look at all of the existing medicines because you want to treat a pandemic as quickly as possible. Ivermectin was studied in over 100 studies. In 30% of those studies, they found ivermectin could have an impact, but it'd have to be at doses that would potentially kill you. So it was ruled out early on. But here goes somebody like Joe Rogan, who's going to not believe the world compilation of knowledge. And Joe Rogan is a healthy guy. What I know about him, I don't listen to him, but I know he's a very healthy individual. He is concerned about his health. He's not in the risk group. Odds are that Joe Rogan could have done nothing to treat his COVID, and he would have overcome it just fine. But Joe Rogan is out telling everybody that he went on his treatment program that included ivermectin, and people are saying, well, he survived it, so that means that I can survive it. And now the same thing is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, NFL quarterback, obviously very healthy. He probably doesn't need to treat his COVID with anything, and he'll survive it just fine. But because he's announced that he's on the Joe Rogan protocol and on ivermectin, people are going to go, look, Joe Rogan and Aaron Rodgers survived it. It's truly, truly, truly unbelievable. So all I can ask is please, please, please take whatever I have to say and go to your doctor and trust your doctor. Jihab says ivermectin is still being studied. Ivermectin and a lot of other medications are still being studied. But to this point, no study has shown that it is safe to treat COVID with ivermectin because there's a risk to reward here, okay? So when you say, well, let's treat people with ivermectin for parasites, you know that ivermectin will kill the parasites, okay, with certain dosages. So there's a give and take. Can we, with a safe enough prescription, get rid of the parasites with ivermectin? The answer is yes. Do people still experience side effects and potential death? Yes, absolutely. That is a possibility. So then you go and you do the same type of math. Okay, let's treat COVID with ivermectin. Well, the dosages that are safe for humans to make ivermectin get rid of the virus or fight the virus, the math doesn't work out. So the risk to reward ratio doesn't work. It just doesn't follow that way. So when when people say, well, it's been approved for use in humans, well, so is Viagra, but I'm not treating my COVID with Viagra. I mean, that's the mind-boggling thing here to me with ivermectin. Manuel says, that's why we have controlled study. Joe Rogan is a sample size of one with no control. That's right. That's right. Orion says, my mom said I'm calling her a liar because I don't believe her ivermectin story. She doesn't get that because I disagree or don't believe her is the same as calling her a liar. Look, all I know is that because Joe Rogan and Aaron Rodgers are going to survive COVID when they are both healthy specimens, we're not going to look and say they survived it because they are both healthy specimens. We're going to look and say they survived it because they took ivermectin. But on the same conversation, The person making that argument might tell you that we don't need mandates or we don't need things because the illness, the pandemic, only affects the older people. But then they'll turn around and use the survival of younger people who are pictures of perfect health as a reason why ivermectin works. Well, pick your argument, pick your lane, and stay in it. That's what's so maddening about all of this. So that, my friends, is what I have prepared for you tonight. So if this is the moment when you're like, I want to hear J-Mac and what he had to say, that was it. So that's kind of the summary.